We are up to Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chof Aleph. We left off yesterday Chof Aleph Yud Aleph Yud Aleph Pasuk Chof Aleph. We left off yesterday in the middle of a theme of the death of Nebuchadnezzar, the fall of the Babylonian Empire, and the death of Nebuchadnezzar. And Pesukim Yeshaya tells us about the arrogant thoughts and words of Nebuchadnezzar and his demise. And what will happen, these two psukim are describing what will happen after he dies. The people of the world will have such horrible memories and were so terrified from what he brought into this world, they will not allow his children to survive. We mentioned yesterday the difference between Nebuchadnezzar and the other enemies of the Jewish people, namely Haman and Sancheriv, where Chazal tell us that their descendants survived. Their descendants, how did they survive? They were Megayer. And Lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak, the descendants of Haman, but Nebuchadnezzar was not like Haman and Sancheriv. There were no living descendants that came from Nebuchadnezzar. All of his progeny were killed. And we discussed this theme many times because Nebuchadnezzar was worse to a certain degree than all the other enemies of Klal Yisrael because he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. The Churban of Bavel was complete because of the Beis Hamikdash, and that extended to Nebuchadnezzar. His children were killed. And here we continue that discussion. Pasuk Aleph, Hachinu Levanav Matbeach. Prepare for the children, the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar Matbeach, the slaughter. Prepare, the Mitzudos Sion says, Mikoyim Tivcha, the place of the slaughterhouse, execution house. Prepare, Ba'avoin Avoisam, due to the sins, the sin of their fathers, the father plural referring to the whole line, Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, Balshetzar, anyone that was a descendant of these three people, this trio, were killed, Ba'avoin Avoisam, Bal Yokumu, so that why should we prepare the execution house for the children and grandchildren and any relative of Nebuchadnezzar? Chas v'shalom, we should allow such blood to continue to exist in this world, because who knows, from this blood can come alive. They can be a descendant. Bal Yokumu, they shall not rise up, V'yarshu Oretz, they shall not, so that they should not rise up and inherit the earth. And the next words can be interpreted two ways. Let's do one at a time. Umalu fnei sevel orim. Now, let's put a comma there. According to one interpretation, comma, we do not want his children to rise up and inherit the earth, but instead, let the world rebuild itself. Umalu, but now that Nebuchadnezzar is dead, his children are dead, the world can exist. The world can survive. Umalu fnei sevel orim. The face of the earth, tevel is the earth, the inhabited earth, will be filled with cities. Orim means cities. Because if Nebuchadnezzar was alive, he was so wicked, he would destroy every single city in the world. Yeah. He would destroy the world. That's what he wanted. A madman, a crazy person. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is Orim does not mean cities. Orim means evildoers. Ho'imrim Oru Oru Ad Hayesod Ba. Aru means to destroy. There are a few references, I think even Rashi brings down a few references in Tanakh where the word Arim in the plural means evildoers, people who are destructive. So if we take the word Arim to refer to destructive individuals, then when we translate the word Umaluf Ne Sivil Arim, it's not but, it is a continuation. Why is it critical that the descendants, the progeny of Nebuchadnezzar, be destroyed? So that Baal, the word Baal is a Baal extends to the second half of this expression. Baal, so that it should not happen, Yokumu V'yarshu Oretz, that his children will rise up and inherit the earth, and so that, Uval, take the word Uval and repeat it, Uval, Molu'uf Ne Sevel Orim, so that the earth will not be filled with destructive people. So that's the other interpretation. If you take the word Arim to mean cities, then you take when the word U, the Vav of Umalu, it's a break. But Chas v'Shalom should rise up and inherit the earth. We don't want that to happen. But what do we want to happen? We want the world to be rebuilt. We want the world to survive. Umalu fnei sevel arim cities. But again, if you take the word arim to mean evildoers, destructive individuals, it's a continuation. We do not want the Nebuchadnezzar's children to rise up, and we do not want the world to be filled with evildoers, destructive people. Pasukov, yeah.
The latter interpretation fits better because there's nothing positive said in
here. Exactly. Correct. Correct. It's a matter of style. I mean, every pasuk, there's so much diversity in how to translate these pasukim. The Nevi'im, it's not like Chumash. Chumash also you have many times. You look carefully, and we're just so used to Rashi and Targum, but you look carefully in the Rishonim, you know, there are many ways to translate pasukim, different styles in translation and interpretation. And you have that, that's especially true in Yeshayah. Okay, Pasuk HaBeis, V'kamti Aleihem Um Hashem. Hashem now says, I will rise up. And we're going to begin a series of three expressions of Nu'um Hashem. It's not clear why. The next couple of psukim until the end, Nu'um Hashem. Throughout Yeshayah, we have all different descriptions of Hashem's names, it's different expressions of visions, a chazon, a ma'asa, cheskas yod, different degrees of intensity of prophecy. And here, it's interesting that for the next couple of psukim, Yeshayah repeats, these are the words, Nu'um. Nu'um means the word, the testimony of Hashem. Why here in these psukim is Hashem, is Yeshayah repeating this expression three times? It's not clear, but it means Hashem is very serious. There's no going back on what Hashem is about to do, the utter destruction that will come upon Nebuchadnezzar. So here we go. V'kamti aleihem, nu'um Hashem tzvakos. Hashem tzvakos, it says, it's the words of Hashem. Hashem tzvakos speaks, and his words are, I will rise up against them, against Nebuchadnezzar and his country, Bavel. V'chrati levavel, I will wipe out, I will cut out from Bavel. Now here I have a list of items, many interpretations. Let's just first do the words one at a time. Shame is a name, a reputation. A name says it all. A name, just a simple translation, shame. Reputation. A person has a name in this world. You say a person's name, you know who he is. You recognize it. It's a buzzword. Ushaar, what does Sha'ar mean? So let's look at the Mitzudas Tzion. Sha'ar in Yonu Karoiv Kimo Sha'er Bisaro. It simply means a remnant. But it's not how he translates it here in the Mitzvot. He translates it a korov, a relative. I will remove from Bavel any reputation and any relative. There will be no one alive that can say he is related in any shape or form to Nebuchadnezzar. Any blood relative, cousin, third cousin, second cousin, fifth cousin, you won't find such a thing. Complete obliteration. That's Sha'or. Again, it means She'er Bisaro, a relative of your flesh, which Mitzudas means Koroiv, a relative. I think it's more simply translated in English translations as a remnant, any remnant, but a precise translation from the Mitzudas is a relative. V'nin v'neched. Nin, now, nin v'neched, in modern Hebrew, I believe, nin means a grandson. If I'm not mistaken, anyone correct me on that? Neched is a great grandson, I think. Is that how it is? I don't know. I really don't know. Nin v'neched. Okay, so these are two terms which in modern day Hebrew it means grandchildren and great grandchildren. I'm not exactly sure, but it does not mean. Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm coming to. It does not mean in modern Hebrew in the way it's used among us to refer to a child. You don't hear people saying, "Oh, this is my son. It's my nin." People use the word nin v'neched when it's used as reference to a grandchild or a great-grandchild. Yet in biblical Hebrew, in Yeshayah, nin, according to Rashi, means a son. And a neched is a grandson. L'shoin chachom l'chud and l'shoin Torah l'chud. There are many, it's very common to have words which are used in Tanakh in one method and used in the Mishnayos in another way and used in the Gemara in a different way and used in modern Hebrew in the year Tafshanayim Beis differently. It's not so uncommon. Words are used differently. All depends on the context. Here is an example. Nin, Rashi translates, as you said, means a son. Neched means a grandson.
So then what's a Sha'ar?
Sha'ar means a relative.
Yeah,
A relative means a cousin, a nephew, a niece, a cousin, a brother, something along that.
But and it seems to include it as a son or a grandson.
Rashi says Nin means a son and Necha means a grandson. Let's see this David. Let's see this David. Shem Ushar lo Yishamin Ma Mishalo Liyo Shemo Niskar Allah Velo Yishami Mishar Bisarov Lo Ben Velo Ben HaBen. Right, so Nin means a son.
From the word share, not from them.
No. He's explaining the entire pasuk. Shem means Ma mishalo, nothing. Liyo shemo niskarolav. There will be no property. See, reputation, according to the Mishnah, means shame means there will be no property left over that you can say this was once owned by Nebuchadnezzar. There will be no remnant, shame, anything that you can say about him, a zecher. Then Sha'or, Mitzuda says relative, like a relative. And Nin is a son, and Neched is a grandson.
Yeah.
Okay,
it takes a very simple Sha'iris.
Sheiris, remnant. Remnant. That's the common English translation. The very famous pasuk, and it's translated, of course, every time in our whatever we use. And sheir means a remnant. And that comes from Rashi. Sheiris, a remnant. So this is more to the sheirish, the root of sheir bisaro means a relative. Okay, fine, different interpretation. Now we go to the Midrashim. The Midrashim says that shame, one Midrash says that shame refers to Nebuchadnezzar himself. He will die. Sha'or refers to his son. His son is Evel Merodach. Nin refers to his grandson, Baal Shetzar. And Vonechad refers to his great-granddaughter, Vashti. Okay, so we're going down four generations according to the Mitzvah, according to one Medrash. Another Medrash, shame refers to Ksav. It seems that the Babylonians had their own script. And then Sha'ar refers to their language. They had their own language. Nin v'Neched refers to their... let me just find out the Medrash. Sha'ar and Nishar Zel Lashon. Nin v'neched bar ubar bar. This refers to the same thing. They refers to the Evel Merodach and Baal Shetzar. So according to the Medrash, they maintain the word nin v'neched in reference to a son and a grandson, Evel Merodach and Baal Shetzar, including Vashti. But the only two differences, Shem Lushar is either reference to refers to a script and a language. These things will be eradicated from the world. There should not be any remnant of Nebuchadnezzar and his family and his country. Okay, Pasuk Chof Gimel. V'samtia, I will saksom, I will set, I will transform the land of Bavel, the Malchus, the capital of Nebuchadnezzar, of the Malchus, l'marash, to an inheritance of a kipot. What is a kipot? So there are many translations. The Mitsudo says it is a shame oif midbari. It's a wild bird. Okay, whatever that is. I saw somewhere a translation, the phonetically, some certain type of wild bird. I don't know what it is. I saw another interpretation. It refers to a turtle. Turtles. Because the pasuk discusses agme moyim. Being that it puts with kipod with the word agme moyim, swamps of water, and turtles frequent water. And there is some source to associate a kipod with a turtle. And it fits very well with Agme, swamps of water, so it's a good shidduch to say that it means a turtle. In any event, it means a wasteland. An utter wasteland, yeah?
The Israeli version of Sesame Street has instead of big bird, it has a kipod.
So what's a kipod? That's a wild bird. Interesting. Okay. Fascinating. Interesting.
Bird looks like an ostrich type.
Okay, so kipod over here. I don't know what this Rashi, there's some French word, haritzon blas. I don't know what that is. Anyone know what it is? Rashi brings a French balas, horitzon balas.
I have the balas. Don't go into Tanakh.
Okay, whatever it is, it's a certain type of wild bird. Some type will be the Santi Lamarsh Kipod, the Agmi Moim, swamps of water. Now we come to a very famous expression. It wasn't so well known in time of Chazal, but Vitetesia Bimat Ate Hashmet. What do those three words mean? Nuam Hashem Elokim, so is Hashem Elokim. So the Gemara tells us that the Rabbanon, living in the time of the Talmud, did not know what these words meant. They had no idea. They wrote Yeshaya, Shem Yeshaya, and they came to these words, and there was no art scroll. So they just did not know what it meant. Until they heard the maidservant of Rebbe. Yeah. Rebbe had a famous maidservant, and she told one of the people in the home, take a broom and sweep the room. And the expression, the words that she used to tell the servant to sweep the room was vitetesia. The same sharish, I don't know the exact words, I have a point with it, to use this broom to sweep the room. So this is from her they learned that the words vitetesia bimatate hashbin means Hashem will sweep out Bavel with a sweeping of destruction. Just like when you take a broom to sweep the home, you sweep out the crumbs. There's nothing left. That's after you put everything in order in your home, you take a broom and you sweep. It should be spick and span. That is the degree of destruction that will become upon Bavel. A nation that's destroyed, so the conquerors come in, they knock down, they loot the property, and they leave a big mess. Someone comes to visit this ghost town, they realize once upon a time there was a community, there was a country, there were people, there were buildings. You can see remnants. And then they make it into a museum and they rebuild it and so on and so forth. Not Bavel. Some will come visit Bavel a couple of years later. You'll never ever know that once upon a time there was a country, a developed country, sitting right here who controlled the world. The destruction will be so complete as if a person takes a broom and sweeps out every last crumb that you can find. Okay, that is what it means. There are many Mar Chazal. There were Amoraim that when they came to visit Bavel, they would pass through ancient Bavel where Nebuchadnezzar once had his malchus, his palace. They would pick up earth from the ground. One of the Amoraim picked up earth out of the ground and put it and threw it over his back. And he said, "Mekayim the pasuk of v'tetesia b'matate hashmeid." So, if you visit Iraq, pick up some earth. You can do the same thing. You mekayim. It's a cursed country because Bavel is the country that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, I can't forget that. Iraq. That's where the malchus of Bavel. They are responsible for our galus. Okay, we were deserving. We were sinners, but nevertheless, they did it as the Egyptians. They went a little bit overboard. They had a certain sense of enjoyment in destroying Klal Yisrael and the brutality and the cruelty. The Amoraim, they took earth and they threw it over their back and they said, "I'm mekayim with this pasuk. I'm a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in sweeping out the dust of and throwing away, sweeping away the dust of this country." There was another curse that was given to Bavel. The earth of Bavel was used for construction, for building purposes all over the world. For some reason, the quality of the earth was good, and it wasn't. The Gemara says, Chaz Medrash says, a camel or a donkey never left Bavel without a load of earth to be transported to another country, to another community for building purposes. The earth was ideal to make bricks, cement, and in that way, eventually, the earth was depleted. It was just the whole country was one big pit. Like today, concrete needs sand. So there are certain places, I don't know where they are exactly, where they go and they dig up large sections of earth, Virginia, to use for sand, for concrete. The country needs a lot of concrete or coal, all different things. So too, this was where earth was extracted for construction in the entire civilized world at that time. And therefore, over a period of a couple of years, what used to be ancient Bavel didn't exist because the earth itself was depleted, was taken for construction purposes, and that is how this pasuk was fulfilled. V'tetesia b'matate hashmeid. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. Here is the second time that we have this expression in these psukim. Pasuk Chav Dalid. Nishva Hashem Tzvakos Leimar. Third expression. Hashem swears. Hashem is swearing imlo. Now, imlo is a shvu. Imlo is also another expression which means if not, question mark. If not, will it not be so? It's an expression which means I swear. We have that many times. Kasher dimisi, just like I planned. Dimisi means to think, a machshava, a thought. And in this context, it means a thought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu means a plan. Kasher dimisi, just like I planned, kein haisa, so it was. Vechasher yo'atzti, he sokom. Now, what does this mean? The truth is that this pasuk of Dalet is going to be explained in pasuk of Hey. But what it means is that there are many interpretations. Simple interpretation is that this prophecy was said by Yeshaya after the Churban of Sancheirif. Yeshaya lived through the life of Chizkiyahu. He lived all the way, and he died the day after. Well, and it's not, I don't know precisely when, but he died approximately right after the death of Chizkiyahu, when Menashe came to the Malchus. Menashe was the grandson of Yeshaya. He killed his own grandfather. So the simple interpretation of this pasuk is Yeshaya is reciting these psukim, this prophecy, after the fall of Sancheirif. Sancheirif sent into Golus the Aseres HaShvatim. He then set out to conquer Yerushalayim. His army miraculously died the night before they were about to attack Yerushalayim. And now the Jewish people survived. They rebuilt Yerushalayim. They celebrated. Mess. And then Yeshaya continued to give over words of Nevuah. And he said, just like the prophecy, Hashem, just like I predicted through my prophet Yeshaya, what would happen to Sancheirif, and every single word has been fulfilled. I guarantee that every single word that I tell you that will happen to Nebuchadnezzar will be fulfilled. Take this as a sign. We have many times by Moshe comes to Paro, and Moshe gives Paro a os umofes, different types of signs, that just like this has happened, so too you can have faith in me that that what I'm telling you in the future will happen as well. So here again, we are standing after the fall of Sancheirif. Yeshaya for many years has been predicting what will happen to Sancheirif and his army, and every single word has come true. So Yeshaya says, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like those words have come true, you can be certain the words of that I'm telling you about Nebuchadnezzar will come true. Because we have to remember, Nebuchadnezzar did not yet exist. The Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar would first come into existence later, and then he would exist for 70 years, and then he would fall. Most people would not even live to see this. So don't doubt the words. Let's read that passage again, Kasher. I swear, Kasher Dimisi, just like Kasher Dimisi, what I planned about Ashur, Kain Hoyesa, the plan that I conceived that would come upon Ashur came about, so too what I'm telling you now about the future of Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen 70 years later. V'chasher yo'atzti, this that I'm planning, another word for it, another is a synonym for the word dimisi, what I am planning to do to, in the future, to Nebuchadnezzar, he sokum, it will stand, it will come to be. And here comes the pasuk chav hei to explain what was the past. Lishbar ashur bi'artzi, just like it came true. The destruction, the breaking of Ashur, the nation of Ashur, bi'artzi, in my land, in Eretz Yisrael, where Ashur, they surrounded Yerushalayim, and were about to conquer Yerushalayim, and then miraculously everyone died, v'al harai, and upon my mountains, the mountain of Yerushalayim, avusenu, I trampled upon them, they were trampled, they were crushed, they were stepped upon, v'sar mei aleihem ulo, and it was removed from aleihem, from upon them, he refers to the Jewish people, the yoke of the kingdom of Ashur, visubolo, and the burden, me'al shichmo yosur, and the yoke, and the burden upon their shoulder of the Jewish people was removed. So too, zoso etza hayyutza, so too you can be certain that the etza means the plan, hayyutza, that is planned, the goal that is planned, al kol ha'aretz, this will come upon the entire earth. The plan that I have in store for Nebuchadnezzar and Bavel will come true. V'zos hayod hanetuya al kol ha'goyim, and this is the plan of the outstretched hand that will come upon all of the nations. Now, what does it mean here, upon all of the nations? Repetition, according to the Mitzvah, there's nothing more than repetition, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar incorporated many nations of the world. He had many mercenaries and alliances. So when we talk about the Bavel, we talk about all of the nations. Other Midrashim refer to this, refers to the time of Mashiach. That Zos Oitzah Hayutzah Al Aretz, that's reference to the time of Nebuchadnezzar. The Zos Hayod Hanetuya Al Kol Hagoyim, the times of Mashiach. Melchemes Goy Gumagog, all of the prophecies that I have spoken in the past that will come, the time of Mashiach, we learn many prophecies from the beginning of Yeshayah until now, they all will come true. And the sign that they will come true is just as everything that I've predicted about Malchus of Ashur has come true, you can be certain all of the other things that I'm telling you will come true as well. There's a medrash, the medrash, very nice medrash, that says that when it says here concerning Ashur, V'al Horai Avusenu, which simply means back in Pasuk Chaf Hei, that when I brought Ashur, I trampled upon the nation of Ashur upon my mountain. Avusenu also comes from the word Avus. Avus is a feeding trough. That's where you bring the animal to eat. And it refers that for that the people of Yerushalayim looted the supplies and goods of the kingdom of Ashur. There were hundreds of thousands of soldiers that were encamped around Yerushalayim, poised to attack. And miraculously they died, suddenly, and the Jewish people came out, and they discovered right at their doorsteps an enormous amount of wealth. So the army was a feeding trough in Avos for the Jewish people at this very desperate time. There was a siege for many years, and they were starving. They had nothing. And suddenly, when all the soldiers died, all of the goods and supplies that were available to the soldiers now became the property of the Jewish people. So that the Al-Harai upon my mountains, Avusenu, I will provide the army of Ashur as a feeding trough for my Jewish people. Okay, so that's what we have over here in these certain pasuk Chof Zayin. Ki Hashem Tzivokos Yoatz, Hashem Tzivokos has planned, Umi Yofer. When Hashem has a plan, there is no one that's able to annul the plan of Hashem. The Yodei Hanetuya, Hashem's hand is outstretched, Umi Yeshiven, who has the power to restore, to take back the hand of Hashem. Okay, that concludes this pasuk, this idea, and this concludes a complete section of Yeshaya, the description of the Churban of Bavel and the Nebuchadnezzar. The truth is, if we were making Perakim, you would have a new Perak, and the Perak would end here, and we would start with a new Perak. It's not clear why the Perakim, where they start and end. It's known that the Perakim were not made by Jewish sources, they were made by non-Jewish sources, and they obviously had their own agenda and their own interpretation, which is not according to Chazal, and that's how it is. That's how our Perakim are. But this clearly is, according to Chazal, is the end of a section. It concludes the description of the Churban of Nebuchadnezzar and his Malchus Bavel, which will come to power after the death of Chizkiyah, after the death of Yeshayah. They have not yet come into power, and certainly their destruction has not yet come into power, but yet it's described here in great detail what will happen to them and what will be the thoughts and statements of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, starting Pasuk Chof Ches to the end of the parak, we describe another nation, the nation of the Plishtim. Oh. Plishtim occupy a lot of, take up a good part of Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel, part of Sefer Shmuel, where we find often the Jewish people suffering greatly at the hands of the Plishtim. And there were different kufos, where different kings were able to subdue the Plishtim to a certain degree, sometimes more, sometimes less. According to the Chazal, the Plishtim came to an end for good at the time of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was successful in completely obliterating the Plishtim off the face of the map. Why then today do we call it Palestine, which really comes from the ancient Plishtim? So that's from the Romans. Rav Shimon Schwab, he explains in the Sefer that 600 years after the death of Chizkiyahu, when the Romans came and conquered Yerushalayim, destroyed the Bayis Sheni, in order to eradicate any Zecher, they took out the old history books, and they, who once upon a time used to live in this land, the Plishtim. So we'll call the country and the name of the Plishtim. Even though at that point in time, way 600 years down Chizkiah, the Pelishtim, this nation, ceased to exist. They no longer exist. So it was just a name that the Romans gave the people, the settlers in the land, just a way to rewrite history, that the Jewish people never existed. But the time of Chizkiyahu is where they finally cease to exist. And in these psukim and pasuk of Ches, to the end of the parak, we're going to describe in detail their fall and their destruction. It's very interesting. We look at the whole sefer so far. What we've done is we have sections where we describe churban. We describe, unfortunately, the churban. The beginning of the sefer is the churban of the malchus of Yehuda, the galus, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And then he goes to describe the churban of a little bit back before the time, the churban of the Aseres HaShvatim, the galus Aseres HaShvatim during the time of Achaz. And then he describes the churban of Ashur, and then the churban of Bavel. And now we're describing the churban, we're going back in time, we're describing the churban of the Pelishtim. And the next parak we're going to learn about the churban of Moab. And as we go through the Prokim, each parak he focuses on another nation about their destruction, their downfall. And everything is Mida Keneged Mida, all related to the Jewish people. So here, let's just start for one pasuk at a time. Let's start one pasuk. B'shnas Mos HaMelech Achaz, at the time of the death of the king of Achaz, Haya HaMasa HaZeh, was the following prophecy. And this explained by the Chazal as follows. The Pelishtim were subdued greatly in the time of Yehoiachas. Remember, at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayah begins, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos asher choza al Yehuda ve'Yerushalayim bimei Uziyahu Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Malchei Yehuda. Okay, it could be even before I think it was during Uziyahu, I'm not even sure anymore. And remember, but at a certain point in time, the Pelishtim were greatly subdued. However, later they fought back, and they made their way back, made inroads in the Jewish land, and caused a lot of sorrows for the Jewish people, especially during the time of Achaz. When Achaz died, the Pelishtim received the report that the new king, Chizkiyahu, is a weakling. So they were celebrating. It's like, you know, today when Obama came to power, if you remember, Ahmadinejad, he was celebrating. I know that celebrating, but he was like, he was campaigning for Obama. He felt that a Democrat would be much better for his agenda. So, same idea happened in the time of Achaz. When Achaz died, the Pelishtim were the arch enemy of the Jewish people. They lived in the southeast of Eretz Yisrael, and they were trying to conquer and cause trouble for the Jewish people. And at different periods of time, they were more successful, less successful, depending on who the king was, how powerful the king was. And now when Achaz died, wonderful. Who is the new king? His son, Chizkiyahu. He's a weakling. It'll be easy. We'll be able to conquer the Jewish land and do what we want. So here along comes Pasuk Yeshayah, and Yeshayah says that at the time when Achaz died, B'shnas Mos Melech Achaz Hoya Amas Azeh, Al Tismichi Fileshes Kulech. Kulech means the entire. Plesh means the nation of the Pelishtim. Don't celebrate. You're fools. You think Chizkiyahu's a weakling? Chizkiyahu's going to be the king that's going to put an end to you for once and for all, a complete end to your nation. Ki nishbar shevet makeich, because the rod, ki nishbar shevet makeich, it will be broken, the rod. Don't rejoice that the rod that hits you is broken. The Jewish people was a mate, was a staff that constantly hit, fought back against the Pelishtim. You think now that Achaz has died, the mate, the potential to strike, has been broken? You're making a big mistake. It's not true. The numate, Chizkiyahu, is even greater. Ki misheresh nachash, from the root of the snake, yetzesh tsefa, upirio, and its fruit will be sarof me'oifef, a flying serpent. These are three different types of snakes. A nachash, a tsefa, and a sarf. A nachash is the most tame of the snakes. A tsefa is more dangerous, and a sarf is very dangerous. So here we're saying that the root of the malchus of David, of Yishai, from the root, the shoresh of the nachash, nachash refers to Yishai. Yishai was the shoresh, will come forth a tsefa, a very poisonous snake, upiria, and the fruit of this tsefa will be a sarf, a serpent that flies, that can come and strike at any moment. What he's trying to tell the Polishtim is, your destruction is imminent. You are fools. You are celebrating that the mate, the staff that has smitten you, has beaten you, has caused you pain, has now been broken because the strong Ochos has died, and now the new weak Yechizkiyahu has taken the throne. Big mistake. Chizkiyahu will be like a sorof me'oifeif, a flying serpent that will destroy you even faster than any other king. Okay, we'll stop. It's one of the interesting measures. There's a measure that says that the truth is these are all different terms for one snake. When a baby snake is called a nachash. As it develops, it's called a tsefa. There's a third level, which is not mentioned in the pasuk, of a pesen. A pesen is the third level, and the fourth level is a what?
Shachal or pesen.
Shachal of Fesen. And the fourth is a Sarof. So there are four names for a snake. Nochash, Tsefa, Pesen, and Sarof. As the snake gets older, it gets more dangerous. And that's what the Pasuk here is describing, that Yishai was the Sheresh. He was like a Nochash, a baby snake. David was a little bit stronger. Yeah. David was the Tsefa. His descendants, like Ochaz or the other descendants, who were Tzadigim, they were like a Pesen. And now finally will come Chizkiyahu. He's going to be the Sarof Me'oifeif that will wipe out the nation of the Plishtim. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. Okay, now we'll do Mishnah Berurah.